Psalm 57 and 58. That will be our food for the day, soup du jour. Father God, let me decrease and you increase. I pray that for each one of us as well, Lord God, that our lives would be a reflection of you. We would be simply moons radiating the light that's shining upon us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Does your life seem like a lifeless rock? Just a lifeless rock, like the moon they discovered. It was exciting to get to the moon. Very exciting. And you remember Buzz Aldrin's word, wow, magnificent desolation. Meaning it's just a big dead rock, huge, huge empty rock. There's no Walmart. There's no Taco Bell. There's no parades going on 4th of July. It's just a rock. But what an example it says in Genesis that he put these things in the sky for our example to set the seasons and the times. It's a reminder to us that even a dead rock can radiate such beauty because the light puts forth no moon. It simply reflects the sun, and you've been called to do that in your life. That's the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is not to accumulate things. It's not to set up your kingdom. The purpose of your life is to recognize that I'm a dead, magnificent desolation. There's something wonderful about me, but there's something desolate about me and empty. Now I can get tuned into my great purpose, and that's simply to reflect the light of God. That is your purpose on this earth. It will, from your day that you were born to the day you die, let that be your purpose, to reflect the light and glory of God. How do we do that? By sharing with each other encouragement from the Word of God, by loving each other, truth and love we bring to the people around us all the time. That's the light of God. Psalm 57. I would title this National Treasure Part 2. We kind of got into a little bit of that last week, talking about some things that are going on in our own culture. We ended with that idea of the national treasure being lost in our country. Abraham Lincoln left that national treasure in Port Byron, personally. Abe Lincoln walking down the street, tall guy, 6'4", at least. I think he was even taller than that. With his hat, he was clear 7 foot. Left his Bible here in Port Byron. That's the national treasure. The Word of God. His church here, God's church, has been given the job to continue to praise His Word, to draw attention and shine the light on His Word, declare His truth. That's an exciting task for us. We're up against Goliath. We're up against giants that say, who's come to challenge me? Is Goliath in the Bible. And we're the little Davids. Yeah. We come in the name of the Lord. We're going to declare His truth. That stone's going to fly. That rock of truth. And Goliath is going to fall. We believe that. We have the audacity to believe that. That's the spirit of patriotism in America. It really is. It's exciting. I tell you folks, it wasn't because of financial issues that drove this country to do what it did. It's exciting to know the spirit that was in those patriots as the spirit is within the church here today. Psalm 57, the national treasure. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. There's a Facebook page. I would encourage you to sign up, to like it, whatever that means. I think there's two of them now that says, in God we trust. And become part of these things. Support these things that are doing just that, that give attention to our national treasure. There's a battle out there. There's a war out there. I've lived to see it, where they wield the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. Watching it on news, sitting there eating popcorn or stuffing my face with Rice-A-Roni and watching the daily news at 5 o'clock, and there it goes again. on a dolly outside of a courtroom. Why was it there to begin with? Why was the Ten Commandments behind the judge? Why was it there? Somebody accidentally snuck in there and hung it up? No, it's our national treasure. It's our national treasure and heritage here. We trust in God. Pull out your money. Let me see it. Pull out the George Washington. What does it say on there? In God we trust. Why is it there? Because they didn't have anything else to say? It's our national treasure, trusting in God. What does that mean? Trusting in His Word, that it's true. The humility that's in the Declaration of Independence is beautiful. There's a long list there that it kind of goes like this. It says, kind of has an introduction there that talks about, you know, human beings, as human beings and people, we have rights. Not because I say so, and not because he or she says so, or I think so. It's because God has. We have a creator, and we've been created with certain rights. And these rights have been infringed upon by Britain, and it gives a long list of what they are in the body of the Declaration of Independence. These have been trodden on. And then at the end of it, it gives the actual declaration. But it brings it into a place of humility. Great humility. Understanding that this we're not speaking for God, but God is speaking to us and telling us these things, that we have these rights and we need to act upon them for us and our children and our grandchildren. You see that humility here with David. You see David, is in the title here, is fleeing from someone named Saul. That would have been the government at that time. The king. The monarchy. Malarkey at that time. It had gone into corruption. Saul was chasing after young David. He would only be in his 20s at this time. Saul was insane. He had a spirit of insanity upon him. He had continued to harden his heart because of jealousy. His son wasn't going to have the kingdom, so he started to become jealous against David. Now unbelief is going to set in, and now he's going to inherit a spirit of insanity. Now you're going to need Xanax. You're going to need all kinds of prescriptions. When you start to harden your heart, the spirit of insanity will come upon you. All kinds of manners of disease, of the mind especially. Be merciful unto me in our process of shining the light unto mankind. We don't do it in a spirit of arrogance, just like our Declaration of Independence is nothing about arrogance. There's a beautiful humility that our forefathers established for our country. And it's the beauty about America. That's what makes America beautiful, is the humility, and it's declared right in our independence declaration. Great humility. That we submit to a supreme judge. That there is a supreme judge in this universe, and he is God. And we submit unto him, as the declaration concludes. And then it talks about us submitting to each other, by laying our lives down for this grand purpose of the providence of God, what he's put on our hearts. Man, we do a lot of things these days in the name of freedom, but not understanding that the framework of freedom comes under the dominion of the God who is about freedom, the God of liberty, the God of justice, the God of freedom. We need to be careful that we don't excuse him out and say, oh, it's all about freedom, and forget about the God of freedom. They certainly did not excuse him out of the Declaration of Independence in this country. Our national treasure is certain and true. It declares a trust in God. So they would do just that. Everyone that wrote the Declaration of Independence would give their lives for it. They're all gone now. And many of their brothers and sisters would serve in that same capacity. to serve each other, to submit to the providence of God. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. David is running from Saul, an oppressive government, recognizing that he doesn't need to submit to such things, such oppression, recognizing that he's been made and he's been created in the image of God. He's not to be a puppet of the government. He's not to be a puppet of Saul. For my soul trusts in thee. Yes, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Montezuma Refuge, we drive by it all the time. Why do they call it that? It's a safe haven for creatures, animals, geese, and different things. Take a ride there sometime. Go talk to that lonely lady that's inside the shack. She'd love to tell you about owls and all kinds of things. The refuge that's been given to us comes through trusting in the Lord. My soul trusts in him. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed. We just got through a particular psalm here that talked about us growing wings in Psalm 55. Oh, I had wings like a dove, I would fly away. This is a higher perspective now in Psalm 57, coming under the shadow of his wings instead of growing my own and running away from every situation. Certain times it's good to remove yourself from people, places, and things that are causing you to fall and stumble. But this is a higher place than that. This is coming under the shadow of his wings, under the protection of God. I will make my refuge. That's my safe place, under the shadow of his wings. When I find myself in the Word of God, I'm coming under the shadow of his wings. When I'm reading my Bible, I'm coming under that place of under the shadow of his wings, making that my refuge. This is my safe place. This is my Montezuma. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. Again, we just talked about this in Psalm 52, verse 9. It concludes, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. The God that begins and carries us through and completes. That's a promise of God. That's something we can come under the shadow of his wings, the power of God, is believing that God has started something inside of you and he's not going to abandon you. That's a promise of God. God is faithful to complete the work that he began in you. Sometimes we can cause it to be delayed. We kick against it. Years can go by and years can go by and years can go by. Trouble, lots of trouble. Then coming to that place where God finally completes his work in us and he's glorified in our life. But God is faithful. That's an example of coming under the shadow of his wings. I'm going to trust that verse. I'm not going to let my heart get hard, as Maddie read about this morning. I'm not going to let it become hardened and into this place of unbelief and cool off. I'm going to grab a hold of this promise. God, you are faithful to complete the work that you started. Yeah, but this is going on. Yeah, but this happened. This was what my eyes see, and this was what that person said, and everybody's going crazy. This is what your promise says. You are faithful to complete the work that you started. And I'm going to come under the shadows of that wing, Lord God, the strength of you, Lord God. Instead of putting wings on and flapping and flying away, Lord God, I'm done with that. I'm done running, Lord God. Now I'm going to come under the strength of God, under the providence of God, as our forefathers did, willing to even die and be a martyr. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I praise you, Lord God, that you put in us a spirit of freedom, the true spirit of patriotism in America. What makes America beautiful is that spirit of humility that comes and is given from the God that is of beauty and humility, that he would be born in a manger, not born in a five-star hotel, not the red carpet rolled out, a stinking trough the animals had fed out of just hours before with some straw on it. The humility of God is the beauty of God that's instilled in each one of his people. Don't lose it. Don't excuse it. Don't trade it for pride. Don't trade it for anger and jealousy in your particular situation. The beauty of God is the true spirit of the patriot in America. This beauty of his humility. He is the God of freedom that declares freedom over us. It's not the other way around, where the things that I feel that I fight for freedom for because I feel a certain way, or the things I desire, I fight for that freedom because I just have a certain kind of desire. No, it's just the opposite way. We have a God of freedom who's entwined with truth because he is truth. And he declares that freedom over us, true freedom. Think of it like a funnel. When you're a teenager and it's like, wow, I've got my license now and I've got a car, man, I am free. This is what it's all about. And here comes the parties and all kinds of stuff. And we see the world in that fashion. We see the funnel on this side, the big wide open side. And we think that's what freedom is. And we kick against anything, parents or any authority, and we keep stretching that out. We say, this is what freedom is. And we find out it's not the case. As we enter into that, what we thought was freedom, we find that it's a funnel, and it becomes more constricted and more restricted. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in bondage to all sorts of things. We're caught up in all sorts of things that have a slave on us that say, you got to do this. You've got to smoke. You've got to drink. You've got to think this way. We find ourselves in such a bondage, in such a narrow life, because we entered in the wrong way in the funnel. Christ says he's a narrow way. He is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And people say, well, that's too narrow. No, wait a minute. That's not the whole story. You've got to enter into that narrow place of believing that I am a dead rock. I am a magnificent desolation. I'm going to enter in that place. I'm a sinner before a holy God. And I'm going to give my life to you, Lord God. And I'm going just to enter into that narrow door. I've got to go sideways through it. It's so narrow. I've got to go through it. But to discover as that's the proper way to go in, it starts to open up. I discover what really freedom is. Freedom is something that is endowed upon me. It's not something that's birthed from me. It's not coming out of desire and something I feel this way, and therefore I want this. It comes from above when he says, Paul, this is what freedom is. Lay your life down for your wife. That doesn't sound like freedom. No, I'm going to do it this way. Paul, lay your life down for your wife. That's what freedom is. All right, I'll try that. My life starts to expand. My relationship with my wife goes in directions that I could never produce. It was just a tiny little hole I had to enter into called Jesus Christ and faith in him and believing that I am saved through him. And all of a sudden, the freedom is starting to come upon me now and declare from the one that declares freedom over us. The true spirit of patriotism in America isn't coming from the people. It's coming from a God that declares freedom to that people. Read the Declaration. It is so obvious they had a great grip on this. There was a submission to it and a humility there. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him, verse 3, that would swallow me up. Selah. That means pause. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. His love and his truth. Never to be separated. We like to play with biology. We like to take the seed out of fruits. We like to experiment. We like to do all sorts of things. But as soon as you take a seed out of a grape, you've terminated that grape. You've taken eternity away from it. That will never be a grapevine again. All you have is a temporary piece of satisfaction there. You can eat that grape and you're temporarily satisfied. You'll be hungry tomorrow. You leave that seed inside of the grape, You eat the grapes, spit out the seed on the ground, it grows a vine, and you've got grapes that have seeds that produce more vines, and you have eternity. You've got to keep truth, which is that seed. Sometimes it hurts when you bite on it. We don't like the seed. We want to take the seed out. Give me that seedless fruit. You got to realize that his truth, there's something eternal about it and lasting. Don't take it away. Don't take the fruit away either. Christian, don't be accused of, man, he's all about browbeating us with truth. There's no love, there's no compassion, there's no mercy, there's no caring, there's nothing real there. You want that sweetness of joy. You want that refreshment to bring to other people. You want to have the whole package, the whole grape. It's lusciousness, it's deliciousness, and you want that hard seed that's in there that's going to produce eternity in whoever you give it to. Hallelujah. God shall send forth his mercy, that's his compassion, his love, his grace, and his truth. The scripture talks about law came through Moses, the Ten Commandments, the hard stuff, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. The whole package, everything was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He was the perfect man. Nobody could say that. Oh, you're so perfect. No one can say that except the one who would trade that perfection amazingly and give it to me and you. Me and you. My soul is among lions, verse 4, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, their tongue is a sharp sword. The declaration, the big part of it is all these things that Britain was just cutting them down, was the different things that were coming against them, these spears and arrows, going back on promises and saying things that were untrue, and all of the nastiness that was going on in early America. Again, David dealing with Saul, that form of government, and him recognizing that he needs to do something. Listen to this. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me in the midst whereof are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I believe that for Amy right now. Thank you, Jesus. That verse brings to mind her heart being fixed to be baptized on that day and how God made that happen, how her heart is fixed to serve in the ministry now. And I believe that for her, that is going to come to pass. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Do you know what that means? I will be the alarm clock. I will be the coffee. I will be the sunrise. Don't let the stimulations of the world drive everything about your life and just be reacting to everything. You be the sunrise. You be the coffee. You be the alarm clock. Stop being poked around by everything. David is taking a stand against Saul, and he's saying, I'm going to praise God. I fixed it in my heart. I'm going to be the sunrise. I'm going to be these things. I'm no longer going to be kicked around. Remember on the early American flag, it says, what did it say? Don't tread on me. Recognizing that we have rights from God. I will wake the morning. How many of us are living that way? We're just like, whatever happens next is what directs the alarm clock getting up, going off. Okay. Then the coffee. And then whatever our boss says. How about you being the initiator? How about you getting up before the sunrise even comes up and say, wake up! Wake up, world! Start praising God. Even before the sun comes up and the coffee machine turns on and the alarm clock goes off. Start praising God. Even before the birds start tweeting. It comes from verse 8, folks. It doesn't come from my imagination. I will awaken the dawn. I might say it on the side margin there. The actual literal meaning is, I will awaken the dawn. I will awaken the dawn. It's time, isn't it? It's time to take our rightful place as patriots in this country, understanding the true meaning of patriotism and shining the light on our national treasure, not being ashamed of it anymore. Can you imagine if our Declaration of Independence, just remove any mention, as I'm sure some people that are atheists would love to have, any mention of Creator, Supreme Being, Supreme Judge, the four mentions that are in there, are just removed. And it's just about people being irritated about other people. We don't like you anymore. We don't like the things you're doing. It's just about disagreement and that kind of thing. What do you think about that? It kind of doesn't sound too noble, does it? Sounds like normal kind of life that we see all around us. People getting irritated with each other and it's like, oh, I'm going to get a divorce. Well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. It's a whole different declaration when we bring in that we've been created by God and we're submitting to this God. We're humbling ourselves before God, recognizing that we have rights given by God. A whole different thing. That's the true spirit of America. We've lost our way. We need to find it again. And I believe his church is the great instrument to do such a thing. Let's take let our GPS bring us 2 Timothy 3 this morning. All the T books in the New Testament are together, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. 2 Timothy 3, this is God's GPS, God's positioning system of where we are right now. What are we up against? Are we up against Britain? No. Our struggle is one of internal, and it's of this particular one. So the GPS takes us 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, prideful, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That connects right with the beginning of it. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasure versus lovers of God. So taking our independence into a place of complete freedom, D-U-M-B, is a place of embracing everything that we possibly can in the name of freedom, human freedom, and leaving the God of freedom out of the equation. Your marriages are going to suck. Your schools are going to stink. Your governments are going to be corrupt. There's going to be murder, drugs, and mayhem until revival happens and we get the light back on to our national treasure and start praising him and his word. Read the Declaration of Independence. Go over it. Catch the spirit of freedom that comes from the God of freedom. A few weeks ago, we talked about getting into fasting. That's another way of wakening the dawn. Instead of living for food, it's like, okay, my next meal, then I'm living for the next meal, and then it's the next meal. And your whole life is like that. It's like, no, I'm not going to eat this meal. You start taking initiative over the influences in your life. Start taking initiative. You waken up the dawn by praising God. I'm not going to eat this meal. I'm going to praise God. Watch what happens. When you seek the kingdom of God first. Cheyenne read it, I believe. I think they were asking, you know, when is the kingdom going to come? When are we going to get a new government that works better than Rome? Jesus is it's like, I've got something better. I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've got true freedom to give to you that no government could ever supply, no law, no rule of law could ever supply. I'm going to give you the spirit of freedom. I'm going to give it to you. That could cause you, no matter what your situation, you could be jailed, shackled up, and you could be in a great place. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are because you've got freedom inside of you. This is the light that shines upon mankind, that makes the magnificent desolation of man and his sinful state radiate, is the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, verse 9 says. Let your light shine. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Remember, he's being chased at this time. What's he doing? Praising God. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We don't have time for Psalm 58, but it's going to continue in that type of mindset of giving God the praise and shining a light on God instead of fighting for our personal freedoms and things like that. It's shining the light on God, the supreme being, this creator that's given us these rights. That's where patriotism is birthed then and will continue in. That's where we'll see revival in our country. So with divorce, drugs, and dysfunction, don't be overcome. Praise the Lord. That means shine the light upon his truth. Just do it. David did it. He was being chased by Saul. The apostles did it. Our forefathers did it. Samuel Adams. The list goes on. Praise his name. Let your heart be fixed in this. Folks, here comes the time where you got to stop waffling, stop playing the fence, and let your heart be fixed. Become the man or woman that God has called you to be. Stop being a flim-flam and waffling here and there. Let your heart be fixed and know that God's truth is where it's at. It's not an if or a maybe. Don't die being an iffy. Be sure. Be a patriot. Stand for freedom declared from the God who declares us to be free. We're looking at symptoms now and we're getting confused and caught up in all kinds of symptoms that our country's going in. They're just headaches. There's deeper issues. We've let go of him. We've wheeled out his word out of the courtrooms. We've taken God out of the schools. There's deeper issues. We've lost our national treasure. Church, rise up, awaken the dawn. It's not too late. Get involved in the Christian schools that are coming up. There's one coming up in Auburn, Emmanuel. Lord, we pray for that. Put a banner on your front yard like the Mennonites do. They write it on their mailbox. Read Deuteronomy 6. Write the word of God on your forehead and on your, you know, all they just had the Bible verses everywhere. Put it on your mailbox. Buy a sign on Amazon and stick it in your front yard that says Jesus is the way, truth, and life. That God is faithful to complete the work that he began in you. An encouraging word from the Bible. Get in the word yourself. Spend time in it. Buy a t-shirt, a bumper sticker. Rent a billboard if you got enough money. Put the word of God up on there. Some have done that. Sponsor a radio station, a program. Put up messages on Facebook. Some of you are very good at that. Simply put the word of God up. Shine the spotlight on it. Yeah, it's not about offending people or being obnoxious and being assertive of your ways. It's declaring our national treasure, you're being a patriot. It's knowing where real freedom comes from. We're losing our kids. We're losing a generation. They're dying every day. Just a kid in youth group Friday night, just like it was matter of fact. Yeah, my friend died from Xanax and an opioid overdose. Kids shouldn't even know what that means. This teenager. It's time to be martyrs. It's time to be patriots. It's time to be brave. It's time to have our hearts fixed. Praise you, Lord God. It's a hard message to end in an eloquent way, Lord God, but I have to leave it there. If you heard anything today, I want you to hear this one thought of you entering to that gate. It's just a very small entranceway called Jesus Christ. He made the way possible. He designed a door. It's a beautiful door. He was born of a virgin. He came from heaven to this earth in a place of humility for me and you. He designed this door while he was here. It's called the gospel. And you are to believe in it. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the number one, that we would not perish, be destroyed eternally, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in that today? I would encourage you to pray with me. Jesus, I receive you into my heart. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you are a God of freedom and that you want to give me your spirit and have freedom born inside of me. Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you into my life, my future, my relationships, my job, my work, my plans. I submit them all to you. Lord God, you are worth dying for. Lord God, give me the strength to lay my life down for you every day. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and cause me to be an agent of revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Enjoy the day.